Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's episode trigger warnings are explicit sexual content, murder, and stalking.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this comes from Isla Holloman. And it says, "You ladies make my day. I enjoy listening to each episode and have almost listened to every episode. Thank you for being so fun and smutty." Thank you.
Thank you.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about Her Saint by Harmony West. And if you want to hear our ratings, stick around till the end of the episode.
Briar's student is stalking her. He's not doing the best job at it either. He's different than the other students, and he must be at least in his 30s, so he's clearly older than them.
Who's stalking who?
The student is stalking Briar.
And the student is the boy.
Yeah.
A man. He's in his 30s.
Yeah, a man. You're right.
She stands her ground and confronts him, asking if he's stalking her. He smiles and said yes, but it's only because he's trying to be a gentleman. And then he hands her book that she left behind in class. She now feels like a dumbass for assuming the worst and thanks him.
Always assume the worst if it's a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's hot.
Oh.
He asks why this is such an important book, and she says that it's her favorite, and then starts nerding out over it. And then she admits that he's also one of the best male smut authors.
She's like obsessed with this author. She like stalks his forums and stuff.
And it's a male?
He writes horror erotica.
Wow.
And that's her jam.
I get it.
She's his biggest fan. He tells her it sounds like a great recommendation, and she thinks it's too bad that she's an assistant professor. She asks his name, and we learn that his name is Saint De Haas.
Okay.
Interesting name.
So, like, Saint is his first name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Saint asks her out for coffee, and she says, no, that's not professional. He tells her it's hardly unprofessional unless she's concerned about what she wants to do in public. She almost chokes and says, nope, that is not a conversation we will be having, and I will see you in class. And she walks away.
She's also a writing professor at like a super prestigious university.
Oh, so they probably look down on her for reading smut.
Oh, I wonder. I don't think it gets into that, but I bet you they do.
Sorry, I'm not reading To Kill a Mockingbird.
And I learn things from these books.
Yeah, like the positions I want to try later.
Yeah. I've even, you know, said some of the things I've seen in books in bed. So it's helped me in my personal life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suck on these slick folds.
Yeah. Never said that. But
get to the nub.
Ah, I'll never use nub in a sexual sense. I work in orthopedics. I can't.
Breach my tight ring of muscle.
That should never be said. Also.
As she walks away, he says goodbye, Briar, and she never told him her first name.
It's probably on the website.
Isn't she a teacher there? Yeah.
She goes by doctor. She has a doctorate.
Ooh, smart girl.
Saint swiped her book from her bag so he could return it and talk to her for the first time.
My biggest fan has a body that deserves to be immortalized in fiction. So write about her.
Okay, but did you catch that?
Immortalized? He's gonna kill her?
No. His biggest fan.
Oh my god, wow, went right over my head. Oh my god.
He's the author of the book.
And she's obsessed with him.
And she doesn't know it's him. Because he writes under a pen name, and when he goes to book signings, he wears a mask.
And his name is S.T. Nicholson.
That's crazy. If I found out he was stalking me, I'd be like, dream come true.
Right?
What author would you be like, if it turned out they were like your student, and they like returned your book and it's signed?
Stephen King.
Oh my God, imagine this book, but it's Stephen King.
Well, I'm not saying I want to fuck him. I'm just saying if he were to return my book and it was signed.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
Not because I don't want to have sex. I
don't think anybody does.
He's married.
To who?
A wife?
Charlotte.
I'm sorry. I'm ugly shaming.
We're going to get canceled in the year 2026.
Yeah, there's someone out there that's like, Stephen King's hot as fuck. What are you talking about?
I look like Stephen King.
Oh, no.
He's here to write a book, but she's his biggest distraction. Also, one of the reasons he chose Auburn Institute, which is the college name. He's suffering from the worst writer's block after reading an anonymous review from someone trashing his latest work. So that's why he's here, hoping to find his next muse. Briar is writing on her typewriter when her bestie, Mac, a female named Mac.
Oh, cute.
Maybe her name's like Mackenzie.
I was going to say, I bet it's Mackenzie.
Mac is there for their movie night, and they look super similar. They could pass for sisters. They have two cats. One is Ginger and one is Cookie. And when they come over to each other's houses, they bring their cat so they can hang out. And I thought that was cute.
That is cute.
They catch up and watch some of their movies, and then they get on the topic of Mac's ex-boyfriend and why Briar doesn't believe in love. And apparently he was a cop that used to assault her, and she finally ran away from it. They ultimately agree that maybe Briar doesn't need love, but she definitely needs to get laid. We're 1 week later, and Saint thinks the MFA program might actually be a waste of time. He still has writer's block, and none of his shitty professors have advice on how to help. As he sits in the coffee shop staring at a blank page, a 20-something-year-old girl tries to hit on him. He tells her that he has a girlfriend and shows a screenshot of Briar. So he literally made her his phone background.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He's full on stalking her. He's like, this is my girlfriend. She just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah.
Back off.
It's like her headshot on the university's website.
Yeah.
And now he has a new idea. Briar's home after a particularly gropey day from Dr. Barrett. So the professor that she assists, his name is Dr. Barrett, and he's like wildly inappropriate and like touches her when she doesn't want to be touched.
Yuck.
And she's tried to say something to administration, but they didn't do anything.
Gross.
She fills her wine glass, cuddles with her cat, and then turns on some true crime. She starts swiping the dating apps like she promised she would to Mac. She finds a fun-looking guy named Austin, and he's direct and asks her out for dinner immediately. They agree to meet tomorrow for dinner at a pub, and she screenshots it to Mac, who approves. After she gets ready for bed, she has an eerie feeling that someone's watching her. She looks out her window and there's a masked figure staring at her from the driveway.
Oh my God, no.
She opens her window and screams that she's going to be calling the cops, but when she turns to grab her phone, he's gone. After class, Saint corners Briar asking her opinion on a book. He pulls out his phone, going to the bad review on this particular book, and he lets her read it. She gives the book high praises and says that the reviewer is wrong because of X, Y, and Z, and he's excited to hear this and asks why she teaches and doesn't write herself. She says that she does both, but it's hard to write when she's doing all the professor work. But at the end of the semester, they're all supposed to go on a writing retreat where she can get the majority of her writing done. There's some tension between the two, and she excuses herself, and Saint heads to the library for the first time in months. He writes... Briar's his new muse, and now to finish his book, he needs all of her. The next day, Briar gets to the restaurant for her date, and Austin looks exactly like his profile, but is treating the date more like an interview.
I'm so glad I'm not dating.
Yeah.
Ugh. God, no.
Sounds miserable. I have nightmares about Zach divorcing me, and then I have to go on Tinder.
No, I'm telling you right now, Andrew's it for me. I think I hate men. I don't know.
I do.
I feel like if we... all wind up getting divorced.
Let's just live together.
Yeah, let's just move to a women-only compound.
Yeah. Perfect. Or like a very large house so we just like don't get sick of each other.
Oh my God, that sounds so nice. We should probably just do that.
Let's just get divorced.
We don't have to get divorced.
No, they can live somewhere else.
They can live like next door, the next door compound.
Oh, like a mother-in-law quarters. We could give them that.
Yeah.
They all have to share like bunk beds.
Cute. Oh my gosh. Quadruple bunk beds for the boys.
Yeah, and they can have their little like PC and their little PlayStation in there.
And leave us alone.
Yeah. Go to work. Come home. Perfect. Go in there. Don't talk to us.
Yep.
Love it. Briar wants to call the date quits, but needs to get laid, so she sticks it out. She invites him to her house afterwards and hopes the masked stranger doesn't show up. They have a small makeout session and she is not feeling it. She says, "Hey, I'm actually not feeling too well, so can we call this a night?" And he is totally cool with it and leaves.
Nice.
Saint watches the interaction through her window, and when Austin leaves, he slips his mask off and follows him. He did some background checks on sleazy Austin and knows that Austin has to die, not for talking to his woman, but among other things as well.
Right.
Saint calls out for Austin, pretending to be an old college acquaintance with a bag of the good stuff, because Austin has a very crippling cocaine addiction and multiple girlfriends that he uses to prostitute to feed that addiction.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Coke addiction, fine. But pimping out your girlfriends? Ugh, terrible.
Yucky. I draw the line there.
Yeah.
Austin asks how much Saint wants for it, and Saint says, "Free for an old friend." Austin thanks him, saying they should party again soon, and then walks away. But Austin won't be waking up tomorrow because the cocaine is laced.
With what?
Poison.
The next morning, Briar finds Austin's watch on her front porch and calls him to let him know that she has it. But his sister answers, telling Briar that he won't need it. He's dead. He was found this morning from an overdose.
Oh, God.
Briar offers to mail it to her, and his sister says to just drop it off at the funeral home. Briar calls Mac, letting her know what happened. Mac tells her to be careful because the police will question her, and then she says goodbye. Saint is outside Briar's house, listening to her use her vibe. Since she has the window open, he says this is totally fine, not breaking any rules.
Why would you use your vibrator with the window open, though? That's crazy.
Because you're an idiot.
I want to know which book of mine she's reading, which scene has gotten her so wet that she needs a vibrator pulsing against her clit to come to my words, to get her to fall for me, to be my muse forever. I need to prove my devotion to her.
He must write some real good smut, because I don't think I've ever read anything where I'm like, I have to vibe myself while I read this.
Not once.
I don't think I have either.
Uh-uh. I've like, of course, been like, oh, this is hot.
Yeah, you get like the little tinglies.
Yeah, but I've never been like,
I have to masturbate now.
After he hears her come, he waits 15 minutes and then he goes inside. He gives the cat a treat and then sets up his hidden cameras. He goes upstairs and he hides the last one in her room. He locks all of her windows and then he leaves.
Oh, he's just in her house?
Yeah.
Setting up cameras.
Where is she?
Sleeping.
Ah.
She's tired after rubbing one out.
Flicking her beanie.
Yeah. Little beanie.
It's Monday and she gets home to a cop car in her driveway. They want to ask her questions about Austin and she gives them a full rundown of what happened Friday. And she's trying to be like polite and is like, "Oh, we went to dinner. Like we had a good time. He brought me home and then he left." And the cop's like, "Didn't do anything else?" She's like, "Fine. I thought I wanted to fuck him. But when we had our makeout session, I didn't fucking like it."
Yeah, the truth.
She tells him about his watch, though, and they eye her suspiciously as they put it in an evidence bag. The cops leave, and she goes to the kitchen to feed Cookie, the kitty, when a large intruder startles her. She sees it's Saint and is furious that he's there. She demands to know why the fuck he's there, and he says that he was wondering the same thing about Austin the other night. She stutters, saying that she didn't do anything to Austin. He asks if she got his gift, and she's really confused, and then he says, "Austin's watch on your front porch."
Freak.
Okay, Zayd Meadows.
My stomach flips, nausea building. Why did you leave that on my porch? As a memento, to remind you of what I'm willing to do for you, the lengths I'll go, the sacrifices I'll make. I'd be like, "Oh, so you killed him."
I'd get the ick, I think. I don't think I'd like this at all.
No.
She feels sick asking if he did this, and he says, "I gave him something to ensure I get you all to myself, so it's fine."
Right.
She's scared, but he tells her the real person she should have been scared of is Austin and what he actually does with all of his girlfriends. She goes to hit him with the kitchen pan, but he stops her. He tells her before he met her, he couldn't write and he was stuck, but she's his muse, so no one can have her now. He tells her she is his everything. Then he grabs her, showing her his lock screen, and it's a photo of her. He recites a line from her favorite S.T. Nicholson book, and she's like, "Wait, kind of cute." But then reminds herself that this man is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
He was the one outside her window that night, and he memorized her driver's license number as well. So he's like, "I'll prove it to you how much I like you. Your driver's license number is this. Your favorite stuff is this."
That doesn't mean you like me.
She asks if he's going to hurt her, and he says that he would never hurt her. She wants to know, okay, why you're here then?
His voice lowers as he leans down until his breath grazes my skin with every word. Because it's your turn to get what you most desire. A shiver rolls down my spine. How the hell would you know what I most desire? I challenge. Because, Muse, I know you. I'm going to know you to your very core. Is that a threat?
It is a threat, because then he kisses her.
Does she like it?
She's into it, but then she freezes, telling him to get the fuck out of her house. He says, okay, but soon she'll give in to what she wants. Him.
Sienna's appalled that she thinks he wants to kill her. He's literally obsessed with her and wants to worship her. In class, Professor Molester dropped the ball that local author S.T. Nicholson offered his private residence for their retreat, and the professor said that it is not required to go, but is highly recommended, and his beady little eyes roamed over Briar's body, and so he's, like, obviously preying on her, and it's really clear to Saint that he's probably going to try something on this trip, and Saint's like, yep, better start digging his grave now. Briar kind of eggs Saint on. When he was leaving the classroom, she's like, no need for you to go because you're probably going to be in jail. She heads towards the sandwich stand and he gets in front of her and orders two of her exact favorite sandwiches. And she's gobsmacked that he's memorized her order. And she was like, wait, why did you order two? And he's like, I love what you love, girl.
Twins.
I don't have my own personality anymore.
She asks him if he's ever killed other people, and he feigns ignorance, and he's like, only in my stories.
Winky face.
He asks her what she likes to write, and she tells him psychological thrillers about women who kill men, and maybe her next book, it'll be about a masked stalker who's found bleeding out by his balls, and she plans on dedicating it to him.
Cute.
As the convo changes, she tells him Professor Molester has her dream job, and she went to the administration before about him touching her, but they did nothing about it, and now that he's retiring soon, she'll put up with whatever she has to get a job recommendation from him. Pookie says, say the word, and I will make your problem go away. Briar's bestie, Mac, bursts into her office and drops the bomb that she just got laid off. She was having a full-blown mental breakdown, and some hot guy was like, hey, are you okay? I'll make you feel better by buying all the books you want. By the way, I'll also hire you.
Okay, wow.
She accepted the position as his personal assistant, and when Briar asked what his name was, she's like, I don't really know. He gave me his pen name, but let me look at the contract. And she's like scrolling through her phone, but then they get sidetracked when Briar drops the bomb on everything that happened with Saint when he broke into her house and then kissed her and then killed for her. So they like never got to who her real boss is. Instantly, Mac gets in bestie mode, and since she has like a crazy stalker ex, she's like, okay, start logging everything for evidence. Let's get your socials all tidied up and give him as little ammo as possible. And before she's able to do all that, she gets a call from her dad who's trying to make amends with her because her dad was like a serial cheater and cheated on her mom.
Ew, I would never forgive my dad.
He cheated on her with multiple women, and then Briar walked in on him while he was in the shower with another woman.
What the fuck?
So her dad called her because there's a wedding that's coming up. And he's like, hey, since I'm going to be in town, like, I want to make amends. And she tells him to stay away from her and to not contact her ever again. After that draining call, she logs into her socials and finds that Pookie already cleaned it all up for her. He erased every photo that didn't have her, her family, college photos, photos with her cats, and photos with Max. So any photo that had, like, her exes and any photo that had, like, men, he just got rid of.
So, like, he hacked into her socials?
Yeah.
Shit.
Briar and Mac are determined to take Saint down. On Briar's way to campus, a black BMW starts following her and stalks her all the way to campus, even when she tries taking a different way. And when she tries confronting that car, the car continues on, so she's never able to see who's driving. At campus, she tries searching Saint De Haas, but nothing comes up except for him winning some high school national award. And there's a security guard that works for the campus. His name is Trevor. And him and Briar are platonically just like besties. He'll bring her like an extra sandwich for lunch. And there's really nothing more to that. And today, Trevor sits next to Briar after the BMW chase. And he's like, are you doing some recon? And because she trusts him, she tells him that she has a stalker. She kind of like tells him everything about Saint minus the murder. And Trevor's ex-law enforcement, he tells her to take this very seriously and to please go and make a report. And she promises that she will. He asks her if she thinks that he's capable of worse than stalking, and she says yes, obviously because she knows that he literally murdered someone for her. He says, I will be there for you. She says, thanks, but no thanks, because if he sees you, you will literally be public enemy number one. Like, he might kill you. Briar has been avoiding her house because of Saint. And of course, he finds her. She's the last person in the library with 1 hour before the library closes. He slides into the seat across from her and he tells her that she has some gifts coming her way. He found her entire book wish list and bought all of the books that she wanted.
Ah.
He says he's appalled because he started reading one. He's like, the first chapter, sex. Is that what you want?
The heroine denied what she wanted to, but we both know you're already soaked at the thought of me eating your pussy right here where anyone could see.
Uh-huh.
Okay, mister. She's shown him very little interest and he's like, I'm gonna eat your pussy right here.
I know you're gonna love it.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
She calls him disgusting and then asks who else he killed. He surprises her by saying it was the man who attempted to molest him when he was younger. He gives her a very detailed rundown of his rough upbringing, of how his mother was a sex worker, and then one client in specific gained their trust, and then one day came to the house when she wasn't home. His mother came home before any physical trauma happened, and she attacked him with a knife and punched him. When she thought he was down, he got up and started attacking his mother, which caused Saint to pick up the discarded knife and stabbed the attacker to death in order to protect his mom. Briar hugged Saint and cried in his arms due to the graphicness of the story that he told. Like, it honestly was like a really graphic and like sad story.
Yeah, it was like 5 pages long.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Unfortunately, the predator that was murdered had a vengeful brother. And even with Saint and his mother constantly on the run, the brother finally found his mother and killed her.
Oh, Jesus.
Briar was surprised that Saint didn't kill the guy that killed his mom. And Saint did go after him, but he spared his life. He said that it was only fair because Saint took his brother and he took Saint's mom. So like an eye for an eye, kind of. So Saint showed him some restraint by cutting off his ear.
Okay.
Briar said if he kept it like a trophy, he should give it to her dad because he lost his in a dog attack. Saint tells her that when he gets introduced to her dad, he'll offer it to him. But Briar was like, that's not happening because he's dead to me.
Oh, then why'd you even say it, girl?
I know. But then that gave her like the opening to tell him her whole family lore.
They're just trauma dumping on each other.
Yeah.
I mean, he's stalking her. So, I mean, there's trauma there. Just trauma all around.
There is.
Saint vows he would never make her question his love for her. As they walk out the library towards her car, he gives her his jacket and he asks if she will be his muse tonight. And she's like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Give me a kiss and I'll write you a chapter. Wrap that pretty mouth around my cock and I'll write you a book. She grimaces and opens her mouth to vehemently object. But I'm not done. I stroke my thumb down her cheek until it comes to rest on her delicately pointed chin. She doesn't push me away. Let me come inside that perfect pussy and I'll write you enough books to fill a library. I feel like at this point he should just be like, also, I'm your favorite author. Haha, surprise.
He's saving that. He's tucking it away for later.
The next day, 3 boxes of books show up to Briar's house, and she still can't get the scent of Saint's jacket out of her mind. She knows he's a deranged stalker, but she can't help but to acknowledge that he turns her on, and she knows deep down what he told her last night about his upbringing was true. Mac disrupts her train of thought by dropping a bomb that she's a crush, and her crush is Zayden Kingsley, today's best-selling author Zayden Kingsley. Ever since she's been working with her new boss, she's been having to email him a lot back and forth, and she kind of has it bad for him. Briar tells her that she has a few of Zayden's thriller books that she just got in like her new stack. And Mac holds up an S.T. Nicholson special edition book and she's like, oh, this is the guy I'm working for.
Oh my God.
Briar's like, there's literally no fucking way in the world that you're working for my favorite author and you didn't tell me. But Mac is like, dude, I'm telling you, I can set you up with him. Maybe we can double date you with him, me with Zayden, and we can all fall in love and live together happily ever after. A note comes out of a hockey bully romance book and it says, Muse, may you think of me when his belt is around her throat. And then another note from a rom-com saying, Muse, someday you'll love me as much as you love reading. So he like leaving little notes within books for her.
Cute.
I'd be like, don't deface my literature.
Yeah.
Saint is stalking Briar from the hidden cameras that he placed throughout her bedroom, and Briar picks up an S.T. Nicholson book and decides to get herself off to the book, and Saint, too, decides to drop trousers and starts rubbing himself off watching her.
I stroke down my cock, pre-cum already beating at the head. The thick vein on the underside of my shaft pulses at the sight of her, hair splayed out across her pillow, her smooth skin on display, so little left to the imagination. Creep.
Imagine being like, I have to masturbate right now. Where's my book?
Let me read.
Reread. This is something she's read multiple times.
Sometimes it just scratches the itch.
I guess.
She stops for a moment to grab her vibrator to help her get off to ST's words.
Her tongue wets her lips and I need to taste her, need to feel her. To be inside her, she squeezes her tight pussy around my cock and begs me for her release. That's it, Muse. Show me what you look like when you come. Let me see it. Fuck, she hisses, back arching and eyes squeezing shut as the next word spills from her mouth on a loud moan. Oh my God, Saint. Cum shoots from my cock, hitting my keyboard as she writhes in bed, book discarded as she moans and imagines that I'm the one wringing the pleasure from every cell in her tight, perfect body. Briar, I gasp, teeth clenching with every hot spur of cum.
Not being able to help himself, he texts her that she's so beautiful when she comes, and next time she'll be screaming his name. After running to the window, she texts him back, "Leave me alone, creep!" So she thinks that he's, like, watching her from the windowsill.
Well, close your blinds, you weirdo.
Yeah.
Briar was up all night grading stories that Professor Molester passed on to her due last minute, and she clocked how Saints was the best in the class by far and how his writing reminds her of S.T. Nicholson's if it were a literary fiction instead of a gothic horror. Trevor motions her over to his car before class and slips Briar a piece of paper while taking some of the load off that she's carrying, and the piece of paper in question is Saints' background check. There's pretty much nothing on it that he didn't already tell her. The only thing that she didn't know about was that after when his mom died, he went to go live with his grandparents in Nicholson, New York.
Oh.
Before she could think much of it, she notices a blonde woman running towards a black BMW, and it's the same one that followed her to campus that one day when it was driving erratically. She could only see the woman's side profile, but she doesn't recognize her at all, so she's like, what the actual fuck? Like, who is this? As she gets into class, she has a light bulb moment where everything clicks, and once she puts away the background check and grabs S.T. Nicholson's book, S.T. Nicholson, St. Nicholson, Nicholson, New York. He writes like him. He quoted a direct quote from the book, and she was like, oh my God, maybe he didn't memorize the book quote for me, like maybe he wrote it.
Yeah.
This is in Saint's point of view. He remembered that Briar said that her and her mom were super close, so Saint decided to stalk her mommy. He's at the grocery store and he sees her mom approaching some onions, and he texts Zayden for some onion advice and then approaches next to her and tells her that if she picks the yellow onions, it adds more flavor to whatever she's cooking. Her mom takes the bait and tells her that she's cooking dinner for her daughter tonight, and he drops a bomb that she looks so much like his friend Briar, and she's like, oh my God, that's my daughter. You know Briar? And they kind of get into a conversation, and she ends up inviting him to dinner, so he weasels his way into family dinner.
Oh no.
Over onions. If someone came up next to me and was like, I hear that yellow onions add the most flavor, I'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, also I'd be like, my recipe calls for red onion, idiot.
Yeah.
You don't know what I'm cooking.
They talk a bit about how he knows Briar through school and how he looks after her when she asked if that sleazy professor was still causing issues. He told Briar's mom that he has a little bit of a crush on her, so maybe she can put in a good word. And she's like, oh, yes, please come to dinner. I promise I will be playing matchmaker. And he's like, fuck yeah. Briar is kind of spiraling at the moment after coming to terms with her real life stalker having a horrible past and it also being her idolized favorite author. Her mom gets to her house with her groceries and immediately starts grilling Briar about running into her friend Saint at the store and goes on about how charming and handsome he is and how she really thinks that she should give him a chance. Obviously, she doesn't want to tell her mom that Saint is stalking her, so she settles on like the student-professor relationship. And her mom's like, he's literally older than you. You're both consenting adults. Plus, I already invited him over for dinner tonight.
I'd be so pissed at my mom.
Me too.
I'd be like, I'm not coming.
I'm leaving my own house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to lock myself in my room.
No more than like a moment later, there's a knock at her door. He's already there.
She's like, oh, I told him actually to just follow me.
Yeah. He walks in with all confidence, wine and chocolates. Cookie the cat shocks Briar and her mom by jumping right into Saint's lap because Cookie hates everyone. And when her mom goes to check on the food, Briar's like, listen, I don't know what you're doing, but if you hurt my mother... Saint swings his whole body towards her, saying that she's creating a monster of him in her head, but everything he does is for her and to make her happy, and he is nothing without her. And she's speechless. Later at campus, she goes to Professor Molester's office to drop off some documents. And since Briar is like the main person that reads the prompt of the students, she asks if it would be likely if anyone was a published author in the program. And S.T. Nicholson is completely anonymous since no one obviously knows who he is. And Saint's writing style is very close to his. The professor immediately shuts her down. And it kind of like pisses her off how he just dismisses her right off the bat. And she turns to leave and he tells her that he would really like to talk about his retirement and her recommendation letter over drinks tonight.
Yuck.
She declines because her mom is in town, but he just dismisses it and says another time. Her top priority right now is finding out if Saint is S.T. Nicholson, and if so, maybe she can use that information to blackmail him into stopping stalking her. Saint would normally never write about this in his real-life murder book, but his muse deserves to have a forever reminder of his first sacrifice he made for her. He watches Briar from the hidden cameras, and she tells Cookie, as she has pepper spray in her hands, let's see how he likes someone breaking into his house. And he's like, oh my god, she's so freaking cute, as he's like kicking his feet. He parks his car down the block and even like locks his front door but leaves his back door unlocked, so that way he makes it a little bit challenging but not too challenging for her to break in. Briar's on a mission to find shit and then get out because she does not want to be caught by Saint in his house. She finally gets into his office, and it's the only room that has actual signs of life in the whole house, and she's gagged to find the S.T. Nicholson's mask in his desk, and now there's no doubt in her mind that Saint is S.T. Nicholson. His laptop is password protected, so naturally she tries everything related to her, but they all reject. And finally, she types in Briar de Haas, and she's in.
Oh my god.
And at the beginning of the book, she watches him unlock his phone, and she's like, oh my god, so weird. Your passcode is my birthday.
Oh, what do you know? What do you know?
She comes through his files on his laptop when she finds one called For My Muse, and it's a short fic of only 20,000 words, and it's basically about her Tinder date with Austin. Next thing she knows, Saint is behind her asking if she likes his latest work, and then he's smooching her.
What are you doing in my house, Muse? He purrs. Have you finally come to play? Scary.
No, I'm here to snoop.
Now let me leave peacefully.
She's like, you're S.T. Nicholson. And he's like, and you've found my mask. Do you want me to put it on? She asks him if he's a best-selling author, why is he taking an MFA program? And he tells her that he had a bad review on his character, which caused the writing block. And then he found her, his muse. He doesn't want to hurt her. He genuinely wants to keep her safe. He wasn't able to keep his mom safe, so he will do it for her. She tells him if he doesn't stay away from her, she'll out his true identity. And he's like, okay, if that's what you want to do, do it. I will literally let you do anything to me. They share a passionate kiss, and then he talks about her pussy, and that snaps her back to reality real quick. He doesn't let her overthink it, though. He tells her to take what she wants.
I've never known hunger until I met you. I have been starved since the day I laid eyes on you, Briar Shay. His gaze locks with mine in a promise. Now I'll feast. Saint drops to his knees in front of me, and I gasp when his hands slip up my skirt and yank my panties to the floor. And now I feast?
Yeah, feast.
Okay.
They're fooling around, and she kind of baits him by saying, just because she didn't hook up with Austin doesn't mean that there wasn't anyone before him. And he's like, show me where they touched you. And then she touches her tits and then her pussy.
I press a finger against my clit, shuddering and swirling around the sensitive nub. He licked me here, and then he sucked. Ugh! I let out a strangled moan. And then his tongue plunged inside me, like this.
She starts finger blasting herself until Saint takes over and is about to eat her out. But she knows if they cross that line, they'll never turn back. So she pushes him away and grabs her underwear and gets up to leave. As she gets to the doorway, he calls her name from the other side of the room after grabbing a book and writing in it. He walks to her and then hands it to her. It's a copy of This Book Will Haunt You with a note saying, to my muse, may you come almost as hard from my words as you will from my tongue. And then it's signed from him. He says, no one will ever keep me from you, including you. Even if you break my legs, I will crawl to you.
Oh my god. I'd be like, oh my god, I'm never gonna escape you.
Might as well roll with it.
Yeah, might as well go with it. I'd be like, then cut your legs off.
Right. Prove it.
Show me.
Briar and Mac are watching Lord of the Rings marathon when she's literally texting Zayden the whole time, and Briar realizes how happy she is for Mac that she finally has someone. She spills the tea about the break-in and how her stalker is in fact Mac's boss and famous best-selling author S.T. Nicholson, and how he kissed her after he caught her. After they have bestie talk and Briar and Mac determine that Saint isn't actually a harm to her, Mac is like, wait, dude, I think you should date him. And although Briar is like, he's literally a stalker and crazy, she can't help but feel like she's safe around him.
Saint manages to leave Briar alone the whole weekend, but that doesn't stop him from taking a peek at her via the camera in her bedroom. He texts her and tells her how good she looks in her jammies, and she surprisingly texts back with, I look better when I come. She obviously knows he's spying on her, and she decides to tease him by hopping up on her pillow and grinding on it, so she just fully starts humping her pillow.
Go off, girl.
Saint is mesmerized, but is unfortunately interrupted when Zayden calls him, asking if he can read the latest chapter he drafted up, and to let him know if it's any good. And Saint is just like, yeah, sure, whatever, I gotta go, bye. Because he's like mid jerk off.
Huh. He's like, I'm stalking.
Then he's back to drooling over his computer screen, where he can see Briar really starting to get freaky with her pillow. He's about to pull out his dick to jerk off while watching her, but she starts yelling out, oh, Zayden, oh, Derek, just to fuck with him, and now he's pissed. But then Briar looks directly at the camera, pops off her pillow, and says, this is over, stop spying on me, and the footage cuts out.
Oh, shit.
As she should.
He watches as she goes through her entire house, plucking up every single camera he set up and disconnecting them. Logically, he drives straight to her house and finds every door and window locked. He's proud of his girl for trying better to keep the creeps out of her house, but he grabs a ladder from her shed and uses it to get to her bedroom window, which she left unlocked.
Ugh, amateur.
She's snoozing in bed, and he slides the window open and hops on in. He thinks back to their time in his office and how much her body responded to him when he was between her thighs, and he just knows this woman wants him no matter how much she denies it. Even though he stayed away from her all weekend, he'd still been watching her hang out at home with Mac and gotten in so much writing while he did so that he's absolutely certain this woman is his muse, and she may not realize it yet, but she is the other half of his broken soul.
Cute.
He watches her sleep for 20 minutes before he can't take it anymore, and he knows he needs to have her.
Something is between my legs. Someone is between my legs. My silk negligee has ridden up to my chin, exposing my tits, nipples pinched into hard points. A pair of rough hands slip under the band of my panties and pulls them down, the person underneath rising up under the blanket. Okay. You're too casual about this.
She's like, dang, this is weird. What a weird dream.
Crazy.
Saint asks Briar if she missed him, and she tells him to get the fuck off of her, but he doesn't. He rips her panties right off of her body and brings them to his nose to take a whiff, and then he pockets them. She looks down to see that he's wearing his S.T. Nicholson mask, and she's equal parts terrified and turned on. He forces her knees apart, and she's yelling at him to get the fuck out of her house, but he tells her she practically sent him an invitation by moaning another man's name like that, and she's like, maybe you should take the hint and not spy on me in my own fucking home. He starts kneading at her boob and then slides his hand down until he swipes it up her slit and finds her hella soaked. She tries to use the wet dream excuse, but he's like, ooh, were you dreaming about me?
Oh my goodness.
He pushes his mask up a smidge and tells her that after her punishment, she'll never moan another man's name again. Then he leans down and starts making out with her. She bites down hard on his tongue and he jerks back as blood pours from his mouth. He pulls his mask back down and pins her arms above her head, but she tells him next time he does that, she'll bite it all the way off.
You won't, he sees. Because after it makes your pussy weep, you'll worship my tongue.
Weep?
Yeah, weeping. He pulls his belt off and uses it to tie her wrist to the headboard and tells her to stop fighting him because she's too afraid to love anyone. And she's like, I don't love you. And he says, but you will.
He's like, yes, you do. Stop.
There's not a doubt in this man's mind. Then he kneels at the end of the bed, scoots her towards the edge, and starts kissing up and down her legs, but never where she actually wants him. She tells him to stop being a fucking tease, so he tells her he wants to hear her tell him how much she wants this, but she tells him to fuck off. And he's like, fine, if you won't say it, I won't let you come. And she's like, I'll just use my vibrator when you leave. And he says, what vibrator? So he fully got rid of it. And now she's pissed.
Ugh. Oh, I'd be so mad.
Back to the olden times. Use your fingers.
You gotta play acoustic.
Ugh, dang it.
Then he says she needs to apologize if she wants to come. And she's like, ugh, fine. I'm sorry for moaning another man's name. And he's like, whose name will you moan? And she tells him his name. Then he tells her to beg to worship his tongue, and she reluctantly does. And finally, he starts munching.
He pulls my throbbing nub before releasing it with a small pop of his lips. I gasp, drenched in sweat and my own arousal. His hands slip under my ass and haul me up to his mouth, where he plunges his tongue inside me. I cry out, wrist straining at the belt holding me in place. He pumps his tongue in my pussy, stretching and tasting me. You're going to drown me, he whispers in reverence, in awe.
You're gonna drown me with that puss.
Gushing.
He starts finger blasting her while he goes down on her, and she comes screaming his name, and it's the best orgasm of her whole life. When she comes back down to earth, he tells her she will fall in love with him, because whether she likes it or not, they belong together. And in the back of her mind, she tells herself that he might be right.
Oh, God.
He releases her wrists and scurries back out the window, leaving her wondering what the fuck just happened. She falls asleep but is woken up early the next morning by Mac, calling her, freaking out about a nightmare she just had about her ex finding and killing her.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
She talks Mac down a little bit, but ends the conversation when she gets a text from Trevor asking for her address because he has some evidence on her stalker that she needs to see. She sends it over, and he heads to her house. She fills him in on Saint and ST Nicholson being the same person, and his mind is blown. He pulls out his phone and shows her some footage from her neighbor's security camera of a car leased to Saint following her car as she left for work right around the time she'd seen him in the mask outside her house for the first time. He tells her she should take this to the police and get him locked up, but then she tells Trevor she doesn't think she's actually in danger. Trevor thinks she's being dumb as a box of rocks and is like, please tell me you aren't falling for your literal stalker. And she's like, I'm not an idiot. Also, have you seen a black BMW in any of this with maybe a blonde girl inside of it? And he's like, no, why? She tells him she thinks this woman may be a PI tailing her because she's pretty sure the cops think she has something to do with Austin's death. He promises to look into it and makes her promise not to fall in love with a psycho, and then he leaves. The next day after class, Briar is asked to hang around to speak with Professor Molester, and obviously Saint isn't having any of this. He sees the creepy old man ask Briar once again to get drinks with him tonight, but Briar's like, I can't tonight, how about coffee on campus? So she's trying to keep it very professional, and the professor's like, meet me at a bar, let's get some drinks, let's get loosey-goosey.
No, absolutely not.
He gets really shitty about it and is like, maybe you aren't as serious about your future here as I thought. And she's like, fine, I'll meet you tonight for a glass of wine. That night, Briar is uncomfortable as hell in the bar that Dr. Barrett had her meet him at. But she's powering through it and using whiskey to settle her nerves. She asks him when he's thinking of retiring, and he tells her he was going to retire at the end of the semester, but his wife wants him to stay longer. And Briar asks if his wife knows where he is tonight. And Dr. Barrett is just like, I won't tell if you won't.
Ew.
Briar's like, I thought this was just drinks between colleagues. Why would this need to be a secret? His yucky eyes roam over her body, and he tells her that she wouldn't dress like that for just a colleague. Then he reaches over and squeezes her thigh, so she shoves him back and hops out of her seat. Now he's pissed and tells her not to dress like a slut if she isn't going to act like one.
Ew.
I know. She runs to the ladies' room and calls Mac, crying hysterically, and tells her what just happened. She knows she needs to report him first thing in the morning. She hangs up with Mac and looks through her contacts to find Saint. Little does she know, he's sitting in the same bar in a corner booth, and he just saw all of this go down. He watches as Dr. Barrett leaves just enough money on the table to cover his own drinks, and he walks out of the bar. So he doesn't even pay for Briar's drinks. He just leaves her.
What a bitch.
Saint stands up, pays Briar's tab, and follows Dr. Barrett outside. He looks at his phone to see Briar calling, but he can't answer right now. He's busy. He follows Dr. Barrett all the way home, and as the professor walks inside, Saint calls him on his phone and is like, "Professor Molester?" Dr. Barrett's like, "What the fuck?" And Saint hangs up, waiting to see signs that Dr. Barrett is away from the front door, and then he slinks inside after him, and his wife is not home tonight. Dr. Barrett heads into the bathroom to freshen up before bed, but is shocked when Saint steps behind him with a gun pointed at his head. He's gagged, bound, and tied to a chair, and he's weeping uncontrollably. Saint demands Dr. Barrett repent for being such a fucking creep to his muse, but he can't speak through the gag, so Saint is like, "You made her cry, now you have to die, and it's gonna hurt."
Nice.
He cuts off both of the professor's hands so he can never touch Briar again. Before Dr. Barrett loses consciousness, Saint chops his dick off too.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Dr. Barrett bleeds out, and when he's dead, Saint starts chopping up the body, cleans up the bathroom meticulously, and brings Dr. Barrett's body home to burn in his backyard. Then he sneaks into Briar's house, still covered in blood. She looks him over and immediately knows what he did and whose blood he's covered in. And now she's freaking out because, first of all, Saint is actually insane. And also, she's already being looked at for Austin's death, and now her boss is dead too. But Saint is like, "Relax, I won't let anyone take you from me. No one has ever loved you more than me. Not your mom and not Mac. They wouldn't kill for you." Finally, she caves. She wants Saint. And she finally admits it to herself. He's willing to give her everything she's ever wanted and more.
"Now," he murmurs, voice hoarse as he draws nearer, "I'm aching for your pussy. I'll be damned to hell for all of eternity if I let a serial killer make me come. So I guess I better learn to love the flames." Yeah, girl, burn in hell.
They start making out and undress each other, and Briar tells Saint to worship her pussy with his wicked tongue. And he says, okay, he will, but tonight her lips will be wrapped around his cock. He starts going down on her, and she knows her vibrator doesn't hold a candle to this man's tongue.
"Fuck, Saint," I hiss. "Please, suck on my clit. Whatever my muse desires," he murmurs before wrapping his lips around my swollen nub and pulling it into his mouth.
She thinks he's finished after she comes, but he just flips her around on top of him, so they're positioned for a little 69 action. His dick is huge, and she struggles to fit the whole thing in her mouth while pretending like she isn't actually gagging on the length of it.
"That's it, muse," I breathe. "Now put your mouth back on it and swallow my cum. There's no way in hell I'm doing that." But she sucks the tip back into her mouth, the suction of her cheeks and the swirl of her tongue driving me mad. My hand drifts down to her head to hold her in place before I drive my hips up. She gags and sputters at the sudden intrusion of my cock down her throat. A protest attempts to escape, but she can't use that smart mouth to tell me off when my cock is filling it.
Oh my god, holding her head down.
Ah! I know, on his big old dick. He tells her to get ready to swallow and suctions his mouth to her puss. She's struggling and coming, and then he busts down her throat. And she's like, "What the fuck? I told you I wasn't gonna swallow." And he's like, "Eh, you were so good at it though. And besides, next time it'll be in your pussy." She gets up to get dressed, and he asks if she'd ever kill someone to protect herself or someone she loves. And she says, "Yes, of course." On Monday, Briar goes to work, and she's called into the president of the university's office and told Dr. Barrett was reported missing by his wife. They're hoping he turns up, but in the meantime, she'll need to instruct his class for him. If he doesn't return, she'll be offered his job. She tries not to act suspicious and says she hopes they find out where he is.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
After work, she's hanging out at home when the cops come knocking at her door asking about Dr. Barrett, since the university's security cameras show the two of them leaving campus at the same time on the night he went missing. Then they tell her they know she met Dr. Barrett at a bar that night. She tells them that this is all true, but the night was uneventful. They had a few drinks, and then she went to the bathroom and came back to find him gone, but she swears that's all she knows, which is, like, technically the truth.
Yeah.
They're super suspicious of her and tell her they'll be in touch before they leave her house. She's terrified, but she has no choice but to trust Saint to protect her from going down for his crimes. Meanwhile, Saint is at home finishing up his manuscript when his agent calls, telling him that it's too late. He missed his deadline and the publisher dropped his book deal. He's super bummed because this story was supposed to be the thing to win Briar over once and for all. He tries to bargain for an extension, but his agent tells him that the contract is void, and also he needs to find a new agent, one that's more equipped to deal with him. So he's very
like flaky. And his agent has had enough. Now he's pissed because he knows his agent wouldn't have a career without ST Nicholson's prestige behind his name. He picks up his phone and calls Zayden, letting him know what just happened. Zayden is sympathetic and tells him to email his manuscript over and he'll see what strings he can pull with his people. Saint agrees and emails it because nobody is going to stop him from getting this story into Breyer's hands. Now it's the first day of winter break. Breyer and Saint are going up to his mountain manor for a writing retreat. But all of this is news to Breyer when Saint shows up with bags already packed and her cat at Max for a month-long sleepover. So he just shows up and he's like, surprise, we're going on vacation. Let's go.
Oh, I need to mentally prepare for that.
He tells her about his publishing woes and she tells him she'll proofread his manuscript and help him find a new agent. And he's like, so you'll read it at the manor, right? And she says, no, you aren't trapping me in the mountains with you for a month. He tells her he's not above begging and she's like, you're going to be begging outside my house all night then because I'm not going. She shuts the door in his face and boots up her computer to get some writing done, but the power in her house goes out.
Oh, of course.
Then she sees Saint standing in her living room wearing his mask all menacingly. He asks if she's going to come with him like a good girl or will he have to chase her. She's scared but intrigued and a little soaky at the possibility of being kidnapped by him. She books it into her bedroom and locks the door, but he's on the other side asking how wet she is right now. When she doesn't answer, he demands she show him her panties so he can find out for himself. So she strips them off, opens the door, and throws them at his masked face. He snatches them right up and takes a big ol' whiff. She books it again, but he grabs her and now they're tussling. And he's like, you need a break, just come with me. And she knows it sounds nice, but being alone with Saint out in the middle of nowhere seems like a really stupid idea.
Yeah.
She's like, you don't get to control me. And he's like, that's what I love about you. You won't allow your mind to be controlled, but I will always control your body. He grabs his handy duct tape, ties up her wrists, and she's struggling, but surprisingly very aroused by this. And then he tapes her mouth shut.
Oh my God. How would you like me to fuck you, Muse? He purrs. Like this, to demonstrate, he flips me on my stomach and grinds his erection against my ass. Nothing between us but my flimsy skirt and his jeans. I try to wiggle away, the expletives muffled by the tape across my mouth. Or on your back so you can see my mask while I'm pounding that sweet pussy. His words make my toes curl. Or maybe I'll make you straddle me and bounce on my cock. Make you take every inch with your hands tied, completely at my mercy. Tell me, Muse, which do you fantasize about more? One, two, or three?
She flips him off, so he's like, okay, cool, one it is. He forces her up so she's on her hands and knees with her ass and puss in the air. Then he smacks her ass hard, and he starts eating her out from behind.
My arousal drips down to my clit and he groans, so wet for me already, Muse, such a bad girl, eager to take her punishment for running from me. I attempt to yell, the hell I am, but the words are muffled by tape. Your mouth may not have been able to take every inch of my cock, he says, but maybe your pussy can. He caresses my backside lovingly. If not, maybe your ass will.
No, not my ass.
She's trying her hardest to get out of this pickle she's found herself in, but she's also loving what's happening and surprised to discover that she has a major kidnapping kink. He picks her up wheelbarrow style and starts chowing down on her with her feet kicking in the air. Insane. And then she comes. He sets her down, spreads her ass cheeks, and spits right on her butthole. Then he rips the duct tape off her mouth and presses his dick into it. He starts face fucking her, but she pulls back and is like, oh my God, just fuck me already. He smiles and then flips her back over, hovers over her, and slides his dick into her, commanding her to keep her eyes on him. He slams into her a few times, flips her over, and starts banging her from behind, and she's seeing stars.
He smacks my ass hard with both hands before pulling all the way out and slamming back inside. I cry out again, the sensation too intense. My abused clit grinds against the floor as he fucks me across the vinyl with every hard, punishing thrust. Just wait until I get you home, he shouts over my cries, where no one will ever hear you scream.
Okay. Once again, is that a threat?
This isn't making me want to go on vacation with you, right?
No, that frightens me.
He scoops her up and brings her to the bed, and she's like, fulfill my desires and make me come on your cock. And he says, very well, and starts banging the shit out of her while rubbing her clit.
Come on, Breyer, he shouts. Squeeze that sweet pussy around my cock.
come for me, scream my fucking name. When the tip of his cock hits some magical spot inside me, stars burst in front of my eyes, and I do exactly as he commands. Saying, he fucks my pussy frantically, chasing his own orgasm as my pussy pulsates around his cock. His breath hitches, and I brace myself, not knowing if he's going to spill inside me or baptize me in his cum. Now it's your pussy's turn to swallow every drop, he growls, slamming into me one last time as his cock gives a violent throb, making me jump. I squeeze my eyes shut with every jerk of his cock deep inside me, spilling his cum endlessly into me. A murderer is coming inside me, my stalker.
Yeah, girl, he got you good.
Now that they're both finished, he's like, okay, cool. Your bags are packed and in my car, so let's go. And she's like, I'm not fucking going with you. He's like, yes, you are. And she's like, wait, if I really didn't want to go, would you force me to? And he says he'd never force her to do anything, but wants to know if she's afraid of him or being in love with him. And now she just doesn't know because she's nervous spending a whole month with him will make her do just that. He sees all of this written on her face and says, come on, Muse, let's go home. The end.
The end?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So many unanswered questions.
I know. Is there a second one?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
Maybe like a 3.5. It was like spicy, but like he was almost like a little too creepy for me. Like creepy clingy. I don't know.
Yeah, he was very desperate about it.
Yeah, that's a good word. What did you guys think about the book? Tell me.
I gave it a 3.75 on Fable. It was fine.
Yeah. Jenna?
Yeah, I have to agree with Shelby. I was just more confused about, they made the whole big deal about the black BMW and then like literally nothing came of it.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I was just like, what? Because for a second, I thought there was going to be a plot twist. And if there is another book, then maybe that would make sense. But I thought there was going to be a plot twist that Mac was the girl in the BMW because Mac has blonde hair. And it was like described that the girl that was driving the BMW was a blonde.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought Mac was going to have something to do with it. But then nothing came up of it. So then I was just like, heh.
I guess we'll never know.
I do wonder if it's in the second one.
I also gave it a 3.75. It was entertaining. The pages were turning. It was fine.
Yeah, slay.
So next week, we're telling Riley all about His Sinner by Harmony West. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
Oh my fucking God, guys.
So it's the sequel to this book we just did, correct?
Yeah, we're doing the next book. It's a duet, so we're closing it out.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Oh my God.
Jenna's like, what? Girl, I get it. I get it. I relate. Okay. Easy peasy. Lemon squeezy. I think Briar is going to go to his little mountain escape. Okay. Then we're going to find out BMW girl. Anna, honestly, Jenna, what you think, I think. That sounds right. I think Mackenzie's going to be in that BMW. And I think Briar's going to kill someone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Will she fall in love?
Yes, I think she's going to fall in love. And she's like his sinner. So I think she's going to like, I don't know. I feel like she's going to do something bad.
Like kill someone?
Yeah, murder.
Murder!
Well, we'll find out next week.
Yeah, we will.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe.
Follow us on Instagram at @smutupandlistenpodcast and on TikTok at @smutupandlisten.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.